Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
You ready?
Ready.
Dave Libby here. We got Jeff Vicente in the house as well, running all of our tech stuff. Welcome to Contraband. He's the band of Sosra, and I get to cackle on there every now and then.
DV Radio.
Hi, I'm David Libby of warriorservice.org and sosraband.com, and this is Contraband on WDVR at dvradio.net. Our guest today is Jason Charles Miller. How you doing today,
Hello.
Jason?
Hello. I'm good.
Yeah, it's good
I
to have you
I would say thanks for having me, but I was already here.
You were here. We're at your studio, a.k.a. other home, right?
Yeah. Well, if I lived here, too, that would be I would go completely nuts.
Yeah, but no, it's great.
I live pretty close to
It's great having you at your own studio, and thank you for letting us use it. I mean, you just continue to support, you know, what we're doing and all that stuff, and we appreciate it 100%.
Now, for sure.
Yeah, we'll get more into that later. We'll talk about everything you've done for us and then the journey and all that stuff. But first thing I want to do is talk about how you got into music. How did you start out? What was the thing that got you going in this career path?
Beatles records and John Denver records.
Okay, cool.
Those are the first records that my parents gave me. And that kind of, I guess early on, I really loved to sing.
Yeah.
And luckily, I suppose, I sang well from an early age. So I was sort of encouraged to follow that that path. And when I was, I want to say 6 years old, I think I sang at a elementary school assembly. And saw the roar of the crowd, and that I was hooked. I was hooked. That was it for me.
Heard the roar of the crowd. He could picture the scene. Put his ear to the wall, and like a distant scream, he heard one guitar.
So from age six onward, you know, I just wanted to get back to the stage any chance I could, get back to that feeling.
Right on.
There's no feeling like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I haven't been there myself, or maybe I never will, but yeah, it's got to be an amazing experience to be up there in front of everybody that actually wants to see you and hear you and all that, provided the show's going good, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, I've been on the other end of the spectrum, too. I've had plenty of those shows as well.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I guess can't make everybody.
If you're
happy,
the opening act for, you know, the wrong,
yep,
a band that doesn't quite fit with your genre, and the fans will let you know very quickly.
Right.
So I've been there,
well,
too.
Well, you're a country musician, correct?
Well, yeah, I'm a country musician. I'm a rock musician.
Would you call it rockabilly, or what do they call it, the Western style? It's not...
Well, I mean, my new record is really Southern rock. It fits into the more Southern rock vibe. But I've also done like more traditional country stuff. And for years and years, I was in a band that did almost industrial rock.
Right.
Or goth
rock. Well,
that's
why I kind of mentioned that, because what you're doing now is totally different than what you were doing before, almost a 180. Yet you pulled off being successful of doing, you know, switching.
And because for me, I think if it's always coming from a place of honesty, then I think you can jump from genre to genre as long as it's something that you're passionate about,
right,
and not doing it for any other reason than that.
Right.
You know, it would have been really easy for me to continue to do the style of music that Godhead was doing and only do that style of music. But I didn't, I had a passion for something else. I wanted to expand, what I was doing. I wanted to, sort of take things down to its purest form, which is an acoustic guitar and a vocal, and then build it back up from there. You know, I think, a lot of people, I can't remember who came up with the quote originally, who said, you know, if a song doesn't sound good with just a guitar and a vocal, it's not a good song.
Right, right.
You know, so I want to make sure all of my songs that I perform sound good in that form, and then you can add the instruments around it.
Yeah.
So that's what I kind of needed to do on a career path was and a creative path was as a creator, I didn't want to rely on anything other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to add things back to it. But that's sort of what inspired me to do that. I did that a lot as a kid, and then, you know, as Godhead was getting more and more successful, you sort mm-hmm. of ride that wave and you go. And that is all everything that Godhead did, I still fully support and stand behind 100%. Right. I'm so proud of all of that. I think we put out like 6 albums.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do something new, and I wanted to do something kind of on my own.
Right.
When you're in a band for 15 years and you're relying on other people that, you know, there's push and pull, there's give and take. It's like a 4-way marriage.
Right.
You know, how many 2-way marriages survive these days,
right.
know? So 4-way marriages or 5-way marriage, you know, is always, more of a challenge. So, that's the path that I went.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Well, you got some great tunes. I've listened to actually several of the Godhead songs, when I first met you. I just check it out, you know, and it was pretty cool. I was like, damn,
cool.
This guy's got some pipes, and you played guitar on that as well, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
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 And then your country stuff, though, the one song I really like is the, I think it's Uncountry, Nothing Uncountry
mm-hmm.
About Me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool, and it's a cool video, too.
Yeah, thanks.
But that's a good song, and that and I've listened to a couple of the other CDs, your country CDs, and they're good.
Thank you.
And what's the name of your new album? When's that being released?
It's called In the Wasteland.
Okay.
And it will be released June 15th.
Okay. And you've been working on that for a while now, haven't you?
I have, yeah. Quite a while.
So
got a lot of different cool people that appear on it. I've got Ricky Medlock and Peter Keys from Lynyrd Skynyrd that play on it. Charlie Starr from the band Blackberry Smoke. He and I sing a duet on one song. Dwayne Betts plays guitar a little bit on it. It's Dickie Betts' kid, but Dwayne toured with the Allman Brothers as well.
Yeah.
One of the former Piperettes and Staples singers, Brenda Lee Yeager, sings on it with me. Doug Pinnick from King's X sings on it. Like, I've been working on it for quite a while.
I was going to say, that takes time to orchestrate all that, because you know, your schedule's busy and so is theirs, and trying to get people together to do something like that takes time. But yeah, cool. Well, looking forward to hearing it for sure.
I'm
sure it's going to be good. And then you got one song the listener's going to be able to listen to that listen live will be the 100-pound hammer.
Right Yeah,
so we'll be playing that for you here in a bit. For those that are listening, if you're not listening, you can go and look it up online in the World Wide Web, I understand, right?
Right, yeah. There's this thing called the internet.
Yeah, the internet. So, but you know, and you're not just a musician either. I mean, you have this studio, or really it's a building with studios in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from my observation, I have quite a few different people coming in and out here, different genres, different...
Yeah, I mean, I consider myself an entertainer, kind of all things that fall under that category.
Yeah.
You know, I've been a voice actor for 15, 16 years, done some on-camera stuff. You know, I write songs with other artists for them. I write songs for TV shows, movies, web stuff, now apps.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you know, and if you look at it in the traditional sense, you know, back in ye olden days, the bards of old, they would travel from town to town. They would build the stage, set it up, perform the plays, the songs, and then pack everything up and go to the next town. So right. I think like anything in relation to entertainment is something that I'm interested in, and that's sort of what keeps things fresh for me at all times.
So that'd be like early radio, I guess, the troubadours or whatever, they mm-hmm. travel around. And so if you wanted to hear a song, you had to wait until they came
and actually performed it live. Yeah.
Now you can listen to anything you want. So mm-hmm. it's cool. And then, like I say, you run the studio here. I mean, you've got a killer studio. I haven't even seen all of it. It's a huge building here in North Hollywood, and it's cool. I mean, you've worked with different artists that come in as well, right? I mean, you're not even a part of their project.
Right. Sometimes I'm a part of the project and sometimes I'm not, depending on like my schedule, their schedule. I mean, there's a lot of great music other forms of media are being made here all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, I think I've seen Joe Perry here a couple of times on your posts and stuff. And then George Lynch.
Mm-hmm. Billy Ray Cyrus. That was one that I did work on. I co-produced like 7 songs on his last record.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can't be a hack to have those kind of people coming into your place looking to do what they do. So, I mean, you kind of got 100 hats on, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But it's cool because you got to be dynamic in this business, as you know, we all know, I do now, is the record sales and all that kind of stuff just, you know, aren't there like they used to be in the 80s and 90s or, you know, whenever it started dropping off. But it's more the live entertainment now.
But what's interesting is the ship has kind of righted itself to a mm-hmm. certain extent because as more and more people adopt streaming. Mm-hmm. You know, that's starting to become a good income for everybody again, believe it or not. Like Spotify and Apple Music are now the number one retailers for music.
Oh, nice.
And it sort of that Netflix mentality of like it's always available and every time someone listens to it or plays, we get a tiny percentage. Yeah. But then if something gets popular, you know, it becomes a good revenue stream for us again. So
yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully things are on the mend in that regard.
Yeah, well, I'm new to all this, but I mean, it seems to be maybe it's just a paradigm shift. You know, it's mm-hmm. like same but different.
Yeah.
Right, Jim. Oh, cool stuff. Yeah, you and I met, I don't know what, 6 years ago or 5 mm-hmm. years ago, something like mm-hmm. that, through a mutual friend who has since, you know, passed away.
Yeah, he's no longer with us.
Yeah, which was kind of a shitty deal, but, you know, I guess things happen, right?
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it's been a, you know, it was a great opportunity for me, you know, being down here and not knowing anybody and all that stuff and then being introduced to you and you basically opening up your studio for me to take a crack at this thing. I mean, you even helped out. I think we did some vocal parts and, you know, way back when, you know, when mm-hmm. I was still like all over the map and all that stuff. but it's been, you know, it's been great, having you, you know, support, you know, the vets and all that stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, you have a vet in your history as well, right?
Well, I do. Well, I mean, my dad's a vet. Mm-hmm. He was in for a short time during the Vietnam War. And then my step-grandfather, who really was, my dad remarried when I was 10. So he was in my life for a long time, was Lieutenant General Albert P. Clark, retired a 3-star general. He was in the Army Air Corps mm-hmm. during World War II, and he actually flew a British plane because that was before, our shipment came in of U.S. planes. Yeah. So, he was actually flying a British plane, with Royal Air Force colors on it for the Army Air Corps before the Air Force existed.
Right.
And he got shot down over Poland and was a prisoner of war for 33 months in a Nazi war camp. But one of the things that he helped coordinate was there's a book and a movie called The Great Escape. And he was one of the guys that helped coordinate The Great Escape. Nice. And if I'm sure a lot of, Steve McQueen movie, exactly. It was there were mainly British prisoners there, but there were also American prisoners as well. And what they did was they dug three tunnels. I mean, it was, if you think about it, almost seems like a fantasy novel. And they dug tunnels underneath the prison to tunnel their way out. And they did really ingenious things, like they found a way to tap into the power grid so they could actually light the tunnel underneath. Yeah. So they were using the Nazis' power grid to light their way out. And the reason that they dug three tunnels, named Tom, Dick, and Harry, by the way, was in case one of the tunnels got discovered, they still had two others that they could work on.
So they built their own contingency plan into the escape.
They did, yeah.
That's amazing.
And they ended up, you know, and they had to do it with, you know, they were timing it by the winter months and the summer months. And, you know, during the winter, the ground got so cold, they had to stop and just wait until it thawed out.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting, I think, 79 guys out.
Oh, wow.
And they, for the tunnel that they completed, they slightly miscalculated. You know, God forgive them. But I think exactly. What they wanted to do was they wanted to come back up within the tree line. And there was forest near the prison.
Yeah.
So they dug, their idea was that they were going to dig all the way to, you know, the tree line, and then, so that when they came up in the tunnel, there nobody would see them.
Right.
Well, I think they miscalculated by like 10 feet. So the tunnel actually came up right before the tree line. But because of the time of year or whatever, they said, look, this is it. This is go time.
Right.
So they timed, you know, when the guard patrols happened, and they still got 79 guys out.
Oh, nice.
So,
nice. And he was rewarded pretty.
Yeah, I mean, and then he went on to, you know, and he considers getting shot down the biggest failure of his life.
Yeah.
You know, I think from that, you know, he had such an amazing career. He ended up being the superintendent, and he helped form and became the superintendent of the Air Force Academy, and There's a tradition amongst all of the military academies for the football teams called the Commander's Cup. Like whoever wins with the Army and Navy and the Air Force academies, whichever football team beats the other two, they hold on to the Commander's Cup. And that was his idea.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, what an amazing guy. Now, as a 10-year-old kid, this retired general, who I think was like, he was 6'4" and just, you know, he was the general, you know, there was nothing. You know, so yeah,
did you guys call him general?
No, no, but you know, mainly I spent most of my childhood just being terrified of him, you know what I mean?
But well, he's definitely a badass for sure. So
complete badass.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, just knowing him and my oldest stepbrother was also a Navy pilot, and you know, having a lot of relatives in the military, I've got such respect and you know, like the I try to do as many veteran events as I can,
right?
Like the DAV is one of my favorite charities, and mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, so
yeah, that's, no, it's cool.
You know, I never served myself, but you know, I have mad respect for people that have.
Yeah, so. No, and it shows. And like I said, you've taken care of us for sure. You know,
well, you know, there are things that most people can't comprehend that you guys go through. That right. You know, I can just scratch the surface of what you guys had to go through, but I think that it's something that, you know, people should have more respect for in general.
All right. Well, hey, we're going to take a quick little break here, and then we'll come back and talk about how you've helped us out. Don't forget to go to mydvstore.com and get your DV merch. And if you put in some overtime next week, you can afford to buy some Warrior Service gear. And you can slip on over there, get yourself a Sosra CD on sosraband.com. Or you can go to, Jason has a website as well. What's your website?
Right, it's jasoncharlesmiller.com. So just remember my name, plug that in. You can find all my social medias that way.
Right on. So we'll take a short break. You guys can jam out with your clam out. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, go over and buy some merch for one of those three entities we just gave you. So we'll be right back.
DV Radio.
You are listening to WDVR, only on DDDDDVRadio.net.
MyDVStore.com, did well begin with Adam 69776. Can I get stickers?
Yep.
I got a deal for your country decal. Deal for your country decal. Who here a t-shirt? Anyone with a t-shirt? Yep. Let me get a bacon eating god, a crazy bastard t-shirt.
Yep.
Now I got a mug, DV mugs, I got mugs. Let me hear DV farm coins with DV coins. DV farm coins with DV coins. Gone once, gone twice. Sold to mydvstore.com.
Every shop online at smile.amazon.com. Why not give back to the DV farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
All right, welcome back to Contraband on DVRadio.net. I'm David Libby, and we are back with Jason Charles Miller. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, because, you know, you've got a lot of military history in your family and all that, which, you know, you do what you can to support vets, the DAV, and things of that nature. And, you know, you've supported us immensely. You're letting us use your studio. I stole your engineer.
Yep.
And thank you for that, by the way. So getting back to almost day one here, you know, I met you. You know, I really didn't know what I was doing. Honestly, I was terrified stepping into that booth in there and to sing. I've never done this before. So,
yeah.
So as you know, some of the guys that were there were kind of going in and out, oh, this is how you do it and stuff. You know, they make it look so easy. And a lot of people, including myself, before I got into this, go up, sing in the can, get your money, and you go home. You know, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's all you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it ain't all you got to do. It ain't all you got to do at all. And me being behind the power curve quite a bit on all this stuff, you know, you guys, you know, you, Jeff, and, you know, the other guys that have helped out really kind of helped get me to where I needed to be in order to do what I wanted to do. So my hat's off to you guys 100% on that. And when we came in here, 4 or 5, whatever years ago it was and all that stuff, I remember, I didn't know what I wanted to do yet as far as style and music and all that stuff. And I think, you know, some of the guys that were there kind of had an idea what they wanted me to do, but I wasn't really either able to deliver that or it wasn't what I wanted to do. And a little bit of both there, I think. But, you know, you've let me come down here, use the studio pretty much any time with the exception when you're busy in it or you got, you know, real clients here and all that stuff. And, you know, just like I said, my hat's off to you I don't know how valuable you are to the success of Sosra, because without you, I would have still been out there looking for Jeff, who really doesn't exist other than here and probably a few other spotty places. But, And certainly not in Texas. I don't think there's a Jeff in Texas.
Probably. There's only one Jeff.
There is only one Jeff. But yeah, I preach. I mean, what would you think? I mean, when, you know, our mutual friend MJ, you know, told you about this thing. I mean, what did you think all this was going to be?
Well, I mean, I wasn't sure, but I definitely wanted to help however I could.
Yeah.
You know, because I understood the reasoning behind it, you know? And mm-hmm. so I feel like in general when I love connecting people, and that was one thing that MJ really loved to do too, was connect mm-hmm. people.
Right.
Whether he was involved or not. And I think that in life, when you see that people should be working together, I get a great reward when I introduce people and then they go on to work together on other things. Like my friend John Holt, who's a guitar player, he just played at the El Rey Theater last night with Tina Guo, who's a sort of world famous cellist.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to do a metal album a couple years ago that Jeff worked on with me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I really need a guitar player that can play this one song. And I said, John Holt's your guy. And now John Holt's in her band.
No, nice. You know?
And I love that.
Yeah.
There was like a guy who directed one of my music videos, not on Country, but The Way You Still Want Me. We needed a first AD, and those guys met on the set of my music video. And now that guy is like his first AD, like all the time,
oh,
you know?
Nice.
So I think sometimes if you do a favor for somebody and you're looking to get something back, if you're doing it with that
right
in mind, you're going to be disappointed every time. But if you just kind of, you know, try to do good and be kind to people and don't be afraid to connect people.
Right.
I think only good is going to come from that.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's the thing. If you have expectations when you do something for somebody, they might not meet your expectations. And
right.
maybe what the gift to that connection or whatever it is something that you're not seeing because you're not, you know, you got the blinders on. You're looking for a specific thing. I want money, or I want, you know, them to introduce me to this, or I want them to, you know, you can't do it that. You just got to do it. And then when you see it actually happen and work out, that to me, that's the gift. That's the, you know, the thing.
Yeah.
It's just cool to see. You know?
Right.
And, you know, not everybody works out. I mean,
well, yeah,
you get
no,
people hooked it, up and it just it gets, doesn't work
yeah,
out.
And but. You have to go through that sometimes to get to the right person. I mean, I try to do as much as I can all the time, whether it's like work on something new, creative with somebody else, or, you know, meet new people, because you never know, like, that one chance meeting might lead to
right.
some other thing, you
right.
know, and that's a lot. The entertainment business, and specifically, is like that a lot. Whether it's music or movies or video games or TV
yeah.
shows or web shows, like it, anything like that has a real like creative driving force,
right?
You know, there's. Those kind of things just happen in this business all the time.
Yeah. Well, and it's a tough business. The entertainment industry is not
yeah.
easy.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was easier at some one time or not. I don't know, but.
Probably was never easy.
Yeah.
You know?
This, the guys that you were aware of back then made it look easy.
Right. Well, you know, I don't think it was any easier back then because, you know, maybe now we have access
yeah.
that's easier to get. Meaning, like, if you're an aspiring actor or an aspiring musician, there's still plenty of gatekeepers, but sometimes you can get through those gates
yeah.
with a creative tweet or something.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? I mean,
right.
or some chance event, you know, or something like that. And I think back in the day, you know, the gates were shut. If you didn't know somebody who knew somebody, that's it, right? Like you're not getting in, you're not getting the audition, you're not getting a chance.
Yeah.
And those barriers have kind of been lifted. But what it's also done is, talking about music specifically, now anybody who's taking guitar lessons for 6 months can record an album if they have the capacity to do so on their computer or whatever, put that out, and then you're competing with that against something of quality.
Right.
You know? And then on a larger scale, if you make a music video for your song, or if you want somebody to hear your song, you're not just competing with other musicians. You're now competing against like someone clicking on a cat video. Are they going to click on this cute cat video, or are they going to click on your song? So we're trying, like, all forms of visual and audio media are all competing with each other for people's time.
Right.
You know? So
now you put the song to the cat video.
That's it.
Solve that problem. it's a very dynamic, industry, really. And, you know, it's tough. I mean, what would you recommend some of our listeners, you know, that most of them are vets, but, you know, if they wanted to pursue a career in the entertainment industry, not necessarily music, what would you recommend they do?
Well, what I would recommend is, the advice I would give is that even though things are so easily accessible now, everything happens slowly. And always put your best foot forward if you're going to release something. And try to, here's the thing. Like, there's no blueprint.
Right.
Whereas, and especially for vets, right? When you're in the military, there's a clear level of rank.
There's a process, right?
Yeah. And in entertainment, there is no process, because there's no pecking order. There's no anything. There's a law of averages where the longer you're in the game, the better chance you have of gaining opportunities. But then there could be some 16-year-old kid that just, you know, catches fire, so to speak, and then, you know, jumps the line. So the whole business is people jumping the line. There is no line.
It's not like you work your way up in the office somewhere because nobody cares. Right. Yeah.
You know, nobody cares, and no one's keeping score, and nobody's keeping track. Whereas, like, in a lot of other businesses, there's things you can do to get ahead, but then there are tasks you need to complete to then, you know, get a commendation or get a recommendation for a promotion, things like that. That just doesn't exist at all in any aspect of the entertainment business. So it's this weird combination of making good contacts. First of all, you got to be insanely talented, right? Like, you got to have the talent no matter what.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not like tooting my own horn and saying I'm insanely talented. I just mean, like, people have to be talented, right? But from there, then it's that weird sort of amorphous, like, always changing, sort of process of meeting people, becoming friends with these people, working with these people, doing this for free, not doing that for free. And you have to take everything on sort of a case by case basis and keep your fingers crossed, because there may be opportunities that present themselves to you that you might have to do something at any time and be ready. So one of the things that, that Dee Snider said early on, that's the lead singer of Twisted Sister, he said, always make sure that your worst show is better than anybody else's best show.
Yeah.
He was a notorious guy for always rehearsing like crazy, always rehearsing your band, like rehearsing the band way more than anybody thought they should.
Yeah.
But ultimately that's what broke them through, because mm-hmm. they were so amazing live, and they were selling out places way before they even got a record deal.
Right. Because
people just loved to go see them perform. And that worked for them at that time.
Right.
With that, the hard work and practice, I think, will open doors for you that might not otherwise.
Right.
So having the chops, having the ability, having the preparedness is paramount. But there's no one that's ever going to say, okay, you've now practiced enough.
Right.
You're ready to go. No one's going to tell you that. So right. it's something that you have to discover for yourself. I think there's a book, or there's a term. I think it was based on a book saying 10,000 hours. If you do something for 10,000 hours, you're considered an expert, or you will have the skills to, be considered that. That's probably right.
Right. Yeah. Well, that reminds me, I had a basketball coach and a lot of coaching and sports type stuff, like, oh, practice, practice, practice. That's how you get to be perfect. Now this one coach, he said, that's BS. He goes, perfect practice makes perfect. Because if you practice like crap, when you go to perform, you're going to perform like crap. So you got to practice perfect. Like, this is the big game.
Yeah.
And kind of the same with the entertainment industry. I mean, you can't go to an audition or whatever with your B game,
because
probably ain't going to happen for you then. So you got to almost have your A game all the time when you show up.
And
I coming down, or when Jeff comes up to my place and we work on the Sostra stuff, I do the best of my ability to be on my A game, because it's such a waste of time to come all the way down here for me to relearn how to do something that I should already know how to do and practice doing, and same when he comes up there. Now, granted, I get busy because we're doing this and that and all that stuff with the Warrior Service and stuff. So sometimes I'm not on my A game, but Jeff kicks me in the butt because I'm wasting his time too. And then I get on my A game pretty quickly. So it works out.
You know what you need? You need the Tenacious D gig simulator.
What?
From that Tenacious D movie, he made a gig simulator in his living room with all these like cardboard audience members throwing things at him and like dodging different stuff. It was pretty hilarious.
I need to make one of those.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll come over
and
do it for free.
There you go. All right. Well, how are we doing on time there, Jeff? Oh, okay. So we got a little bit more time. So what's your most memorable moment?
Like, oh God, my most memorable
bad or
moment.
Good or whatever. But well, your memorable moment in your music.
The
your...
first thing that just popped into my head was just got distracted for a second.
That's right.
My most memorable moment. The first thing that popped in my head was when I went to George Mason University in Virginia, and I used to work at the basketball arena part-time, putting the chairs down, right? That was like my part-time job, was to help set up and tear down for games, events, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then less than 10 years later, I was back there performing, opening for Marilyn Manson, and that was really cool. And it wasn't like I saw my old boss and I told him to go, but I did see my old boss, but he was like really nice. So it was just like, hey, this is great. Like, everybody was happy,
Yeah.
And my family got to come and see me perform there. And like, that was pretty awesome, because that really felt like everything went full circle,
you know,
and a lot of my friends were there, and it was a really, to me, that was certainly a highlight of my career and life to be able to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. That's really cool. So where can people go again to check your
Well, jasoncharlesmiller.com, but on Instagram and Facebook, I'm also Jason Charles Miller. And then on Twitter, I'm Jason C. Miller, because Jason Charles Miller is too long.
Yeah.
But look for the blue check mark, then you'll know
gotcha.
It's me.
Yeah. All right. You guys heard it. So go there and check it out. We're going to take another break and don't forget to go to mydvstore.com and get your DV merch, and check out warriorservice.org as well. Get yourself a t-shirt. And if you got too many t-shirts, you can go to socialband.com, get yourself a CD or whatever. But
Never have too many t-shirts. No? I'm always buying new t-shirts.
There you go. If you have too many t-shirts, talk to Jason. He'll take
them. Send them to me. Yeah, I'll take them off your hands.
All right, we'll be back in a minute, and we will find out what Jason's doing currently and what he plans on doing. So stay tuned on dvradio.net. I'm Dave Libby of warriorservice.org and socerband.com, and this is Contraband.
The Up in Arms Podcast.
Welcome to Media Letter Sandwich.
You're listening to Barracks Talk on DV Radio.
Welcome to Disgruntled Discussions.
You're listening to
The Marquee.
Woo!
Dirty Third.
Welcome to the Struggle Brothers Show, everybody. I am Ron Ripley. With me, as always, is Mr. Filthy Rich.
Hello, and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai.
Hear all of these veteran-made shows on DVRadio.net. From original to syndicated shows, they're all on the DV Radio Network. Don't forget to check out the schedule banner to find out when your favorite show is airing. Again, that's DVRadio.net. And don't forget to search DV Radio on the TuneIn app on your mobile device.
DV Radio.
Let's get it on.
We've got some fresh beef for you.
The music.
Let's go.
You're listening to WDVR on DVRadio.net. By veterans, for veterans.
Simply made for you.
I'm here with DV Recoil, Google, SRP, and Boner Wood. My special guest is Marquee David.
People fucking go, this show sucks. Well, you should hear the pre-show.
We have about 30 inches.
Go down to Pound Town. Been to Pound Town.
I didn't see a box from Tasteful Treasures.
You've never taken that much, have you?
Yes.
I like the feeling between my butt cheeks.
You should see it. I just blew two lights in the kitchen.
That wasn't the only thing you blew.
Everybody's up my ass.
Let me pull it up real quick.
You're not complaining, though.
This has been a lot of fun. We should stay in touch.
Well, yes, Zach. If you've got a show idea, a veteran-owned business to promote, a veteran-based organization, or even a news article that's crazy enough to potato for the junk in the news segment...
What's the best way to reach you? Email?
Well, yes. You can send an email to info@dvradio.net. I promise your email will not be deleted.
Radio.
You're tuned in to DV Radio, where the shenanigans never end. Now, back to our show.
All right, welcome back to Contraband on DVRadio.net. I am David Libby, and we are back with Jason Charles Miller to discuss what he is doing now. So, what are you doing now? You have an album that's being released in June.
So probably by the time this airs, my new album will be out. It's called In the Wasteland.
Cool.
Comes out June 15th. It's on Sony Red Music, so that's exciting. And I plan on doing a lot of touring the second half of 2018.
Nice. Is that a North American tour?
Mainly North American.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. You going to get up to Washington State, possibly?
I'm going to try.
All right. Well, we got a place for you to stay if you make it up there.
I like that. Always need free places to stay.
So after this album drops and you're going to hit the road, is that the plan?
Yep.
Okay, yep. Cool. So a North American tour, you know who you're going to be going with yet, or can that be released?
Can't be released just yet, but gotcha. We've got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff being worked out right
now. Nice. And this is going to be a country tour, or is this going to be a little mixed bag?
A little mix of both, yeah. I mean, the thing about the new record is it's a lot heavier. Matt Hyde produced it, and my friend Stuart Carreras co-produced it with me. Like, we started it, and then Matt Hyde produced it and mixed it. But and Matt Hyde has won a Grammy for Johnny Lang, but he's also produced Slayer, AFI, Seether, and but also was the main engineer on No Doubt's biggest record. So he has a real diverse rock pedigree and just knows how to make great sounding records. So I'm really proud of the record, and I wrote about I co-wrote about 45 songs.
Oh, nice.
Recorded about 20, then pared that down to 14, and the album has 11 songs on it. So I have so many other songs that are just floating out there.
Yeah.
But it's cool because like one of the songs from that bigger group like made it into a video game. Yeah. And, you know, so like there's different songs that I wrote for that project that will end up in different places besides even if it didn't make the album. Because when you write that many songs, right, then you've got to pare it down. Like, is there a theme? This song is great, but does it fit in this collection?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing, creatively.
Right. Yeah, no, I get that 100%.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have the ability to create that much stuff so that you can kind of pick and choose through it, as opposed to writing. You write 11 songs, guys. Well, 11 are going to make the album.
Right.
Those 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good or bad.
Right.
So, yeah, it must be kind of nice to have like a handful, you know, nice chunk of songs you can kind of even create your own theme, I guess, you know, put them together and, you know, however you want it to come off. And like you said, it's going to come off a little bit heavier. So,
yeah,
looking forward to it. So in your future plans, I mean, you're going to be touring. You're going to leave Jeff here to run the ship.
Run the ship for me while I'm gone.
All right. He looks pretty excited about that, too.
He's really, really excited.
Yeah, I'll put an eye patch on him and a peg leg. So you're going to be touring it. How long did you say you were going to be touring for?
It's kind of indetermined. You know, I'll probably be gone for a couple of weeks and then be back and then be gone. You know, we're still working some things out.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, hopefully I get a chance to see you. I've seen you a couple times, you know, smaller venues and whatnot. So it'd be kind of cool to see you on the stage with the hot lights on you.
I'm having my record release party on June 19th. At the Whiskey A Go-Go back here in L.A.
Oh, crap. We're going to be in Thailand, huh?
Oh, man, it's going to kill me.
We'll be in Thailand.
Oh, well.
And then we'll be in Thailand. If it wasn't, I guess it doesn't matter.
Fair enough.
So, cool. And then, like I said, you're you know, where do you see yourself, you know, after the, you know, this tour and all that stuff? You
go back. Where do I see myself in 5 years?
Yeah, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
I'm a career counselor. We're going to get you straightened out.
Yeah, well, you know, also, there are a lot of things that hold me here, too. So Legendary Pictures has their own digital network called Alpha, and I host a show on that network through the Geek and Sundry production company called Starter Kit.
Okay.
And what Starter Kit is, it's a show where we teach people how to play role-playing games. Like in season one, we teach Dungeons and Dragons, and then a pirate, speaking of peg legs and eye patch, a pirate role-playing game called Seventh Sea. And then in season two, we brought in two guys that were big names in the Dungeons and Dragons world that have created their own games.
Yeah.
And it's super fun. I grew up a super nerd.
Yeah.
And so now I get to make this show where
Can people go to check that out?
If you just go to projectalpha.com,
okay,
that's where you go.
Okay. Yeah, because we, you know, there's, believe it or not, a lot of military guys are into that.
Oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
Heck, no, when I was younger, I played Dungeons and Dragons all the time. So,
well, there's a show called Critical Role that I wrote the theme song for and I've appeared on. And that's Critical Role is on that network as well. And it's really probably the most popular Dungeons and Dragons show in the world.
Yeah.
So if Critical Role didn't exist, my show probably wouldn't have existed. But I know there's a lot of military guys that watch Critical Role.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they just did a thing on DV Radio not too long ago. They had a guest on there that was doing a kind of a similar thing. It was a geek thing is what it was. I don't understand some of these things, but they play games or whatever. They get together and play these kind of role-playing games or whatnot.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. I mean, like I said, I enjoyed it. I remember that Atari, when Atari first came out and you had to go around and kill the dragon. It looked like
Adventure.
A duck. Yeah.
You were a little yellow square.
You're a square. And it's
amazing.
And
then when you picked up a sword, you were a yellow square with a sword.
A yellow square. The sword was an arrow. It wasn't even a sword.
Oh, no. That was a different one. You could get the sword. The arrow was you had a bow. And then there was so you were a little yellow square with an arrow. And then you could shoot that arrow. But then you could also get a key. That must
be an advanced game.
You get a key. No, it's the same game. You could get a sword later, I think.
Oh, well, maybe I'm just not good enough to get the sword.
We're talking about 30 years ago. So
I know, but I played it last weekend. I just thought my son's getting into it. He's 14, and he's digging it. You know, I'm trying to get him off some of the graphic stuff and everything, and I got him on that. But I was telling about Dungeons & Dragons. Said, yeah, this was like the big thing that was like the digital world's finally caught up to this fantasy thing we've been hand jamming with pencils and erasers and all that stuff. And it was so cool. You're a black box or yellow box. It flies around. And you get the sword. And so I was telling him about it, and then we played it. And he's like, wow, you guys must have good imaginations. Yeah.
The dragon, Jeff, the dragon looked like a duck. It was great.
Seriously. Look, when you kill it and it dies, it looks the same as when it was alive. It's got a long neck and a kind of a bill on it. And I don't know. It's funny. And then a bat flies around and steals your stuff. And
They actually used Adventure in Ready Player One, the movie.
Did they?
Yeah, it was something in the last act.
Was there a square? Was there a little yellow
No, they
square?
Were playing an Atari.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was straight up playing an Atari.
That's great.
And something about the hidden room that's in there.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
No. I don't get that far. No, I get killed all the time.
No, in Adventure.
Okay.
I didn't know if it could be a spoiler when it's like 30 years old.
35
spoiler
years
alert.
Old. No spoiler.
The duck wins.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, again, what your website?
Yeah, Jason Charles Miller. If you just pop that into any browser, my name, you'll find what you need to find.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's for the benefit of any new listeners that might be slow to get to the show. So, anyway, there you go.
Great. Yeah. JasonCharlesMiller.com, or just throw it in your Google browser and in your search.
Well, check it out.
Luckily, not too many bad things come up.
Yeah. Well, you know. Can't be responsible
I think none
for
right
everything.
Now.
All right. Well, did you have anything that you wanted to add before we wrapped up? Or
no, I think we're good. I think
okay. Well, again, I appreciate you coming into your own studio.
Yeah. I had that commute was terrible. I had to walk 15 feet.
Yeah, we'll give you a tour after the show here.
Oh, great. Okay,
show
cool.
you around.
Thanks.
No, I really do appreciate everything you've done for us and appreciate what you're doing for vets even outside of us and stuff. And it's, you know, I can't thank you enough. Can't thank you enough.
Thank you. Same.
So anyway, anybody else have anything? Jeff, you got anything they want to add or? How about thing one or thing two? You guys got anything? Yeah. So they said it was nice to see me again. So we'll leave it at that. Yeah, well, you know, not everybody's gifted. All right. Well, thanks again for listening. Thanks again to Jason for coming in again to your own studio. And don't forget to check out my dvstore.com. WarriorService.org, SoulsBand.com. Go get out there, support your vets and your veteran organizations. We can keep bringing you guys the sweet sounds of my voice. Take care.
Those dulcet tones.
I
love it.
I don't know. It took a lot of time. You just don't do this overnight. So anyway, if you guys haven't heard 100 Pound Hammer yet, also go over and check it out if you're listening to the podcast, and we'll see you guys on the next show. Take care.
DV Radio.